Open your Bible today, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. Now, while you're turning, and I hope some of you are able to just stop what you're doing and read these verses with us, but at least for a moment, let me look back now and tell you what's going on. In the first part of the chapter, he begins to talk to us about our position in Christ. Yes, you say, well, that's Jews he's talking to. No, that's Jew and Gentile. Read chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. That's Jew and Gentile. That's born-again children of God. That's men in the people in the body of Christ. Now, after he tells us that, and tells us about our salvation, and has us to rejoice in that, and tells us what our position is, acknowledges that we're suffering for Jesus' sake, and then he begins to tell us how to overcome in the midst of this suffering. He doesn't tell us we'll not suffer. He doesn't tell us we'll not suffer. Let me tell you, you live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. Some of you folks don't know what persecution is. And my admonition for you is, why don't you do something for Jesus? Why don't you do something for the Lord? When you start doing something for the Lord, you'll find out you'll suffer some persecution. All right, he says, suffer persecution. And here's how you suffer it. Here's how you go through it. Here's how you take it. Realize that it's against God, not you. Realize that your mind is set on Christ and not on your persecution. Then he goes on down through and tells us to be holy in verse 16. Then in verse 17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons. You know, I like that. I think I'll just stop there just a minute. Will you let me? Just a minute. Let me stop right there just a minute. If ye call on the Father, and who do we call on? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We bow and pray, dear God, dear Father. It's all right to pray, dear Jesus. That's fine. It's one and the same, one person. It's even all right to pray, dear Holy Spirit. But don't most of us use the Father's name when we pray? Jesus' disciples said, teach us to pray, and he said, when you pray, pray in this manner, our Father, and so we usually do that. And if you call on the Father, who? The Father we call on. The Lord God Jehovah, the Father we call on. If you call on the Father, who? Without respect to persons. Now, just remember that. Just remember that. Jesus does not respect persons. So there's no need for you to strut around the church and hold your head up and grin like a silly possum and think that God loves you better than he loves somebody else. Don't you strut around the church and think that you're more mature than anybody else and that you've got an insight into God that nobody else has. Don't you think for a minute that God's going to treat you any differently than he treats anybody else under the same circumstances. You just remember, God is no respecter of persons. And I can add to that, in reference to the first part of this book, where the scripture talking about the elect of God is misinterpreted and misused, I can say, if God is no respecter of persons, he'll save anyone that will call on him. Now, you cannot deny that. You cannot deny that. You can bring up all the Greek and the Hebrew, and you can plow around all you want to, but you can't deny the plain, simple truth that if God is no respecter of persons, God will save anyone who will trust him. And salvation is for all who will call upon the name of the Lord, and if he is no respecter of persons, he will not restrict anybody from calling upon the name of the Lord. Let's move on. He says in verse 17, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth, he's going to be the judge. Of course, Christ will sit on the judgment seat of Christ, but it's still God. He will be the judge according to every man's work. There are two major judgments that I'll mention right now. There are others, but I'll mention right now two major judgments. The judgment seat of Christ, that's when Christians stand before Jesus to give an account for the deeds done in the body. And then there is the great white throne judgment, bar of God, where all of the unsaved will stand to give an account for the deeds done in the body, and their punishment will be according to their deeds, what is written in their books. Now, he said, God, who is without respect of person, judgeth according to every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here while you're traveling. Amen. Praise God, he says, not living here. Praise the Lord, he says, not settling down here and putting your roots down here. We are sojourners. We are strangers passing through this life. Our citizenship is in heaven. Oh, wait a minute. I'm an American. I vote for local people in local government and national government and state government. And I thank God for America. And I don't want to live anywhere else. And I thank God he let me be born here. I tell you over and over again, I thank God that he let me be born here. But in reality, as a saint of God, now, that's my body that's a citizen of this country. That's my body that's a citizen of this country. But my spirit and my soul is sojourning here in this life. I'm just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's the spirit of the Christian. While you're sojourning here, do it in fear. Now you say, what do you mean, preacher? Are you supposed to fear and cringe through this life? No. You enjoy this life. You've got many things to enjoy. But you be careful. While you're enjoying this life and living this life, you be careful that you fear God. You say, well, what does that mean? You're afraid God's going to drop a hammer on your head? No. It's just that you fear and reverence God to the point that you know you're going to have to stand before him one day and give an account for the deeds done in the body. I tell you, Peter's laying down some tremendous truths here for us if we'd just listen to him. He said, you're going to stand before God and you ought to be afraid that you would stand before him unprepared, that you would stand before him without any crowns, you would stand before him without any deeds that you've done for his glory, and you've lived your life for yourself and for your family and for your own good and have not lived it for God, you had better start thinking about the judgment seat of Christ, according to him in fear. Another great admonition. Another great way to overcome the persecution that you have by living for God.